You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Up, bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Well, hello and welcome to this Freaky Friday, October 27th, 2023. A very Freaky Friday indeed. It's the last Friday of October and the last Friday before Halloween.
Happy Halloween! I tried to curate mostly spooky tales for this one to get us all in the Halloween spirit, especially coming on the tail of our spooky campfire story episode, which was so much fun. Some people have sent in their own childhood campfire stories,
which I'm so excited about. That's what we wanted, because and someone even on our Instagram DM'd and said they had heard the person under the licking of the hand that people can lick too, all the way when they were a teenager in Argentina. So the stories really are
universal.
These type of stories, you may be like, oh, it's from my camp in Minnesota. No, it could be anywhere.
It could be in Argentina. Who knows?
And that's the nostalgia. Like, brings it back of like, oh, I remember that. I remember that as a kid. So thanks for everybody.
I remember that a man could be laying under my bed anywhere in the world, licking my hand, and I think it's my dog.
Anywhere at any time. And people have said, that's why I have cats. I'm like, yeah, you could tell the difference between a cat and a person.
Well, it's that sandpaper tongue. Yeah. But if it's not your cat, you got even bigger problems, because now you got a sandpaper tongue man laying under your bed.
Yeah, it's a dehydrated intruder that is licking you right now, who has whiskers somehow.
Hate it.
It is worse than anything.
May I get you a saucer of milk, please, so you leave me alone?
I'm just a bit thirsty. Yeah, these stories, though, and thank you for curating quite a lineup. This is the perfect set of stories to get us into the mood.
Well, I hope so. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Krista, and it is called The Biffy Man. While listening to your most recent campfire stories, I was reminded of one from my childhood that inspired a very amateur film. First, let's set the scene. The year was 1998, or somewhere around that time. The setting was a popular church camp in northern Minnesota. It was similar to your typical 1900s church camp, with a creaking iron gate entrance decorated with green vines that led down a long dirt road, with multiple wooden cabins equipped with three sets of bunk beds and lumpy mattresses with weird stains. Nestled among these cabins were the mosquito-infested shower stalls that smelled of dirty cement and the lingering stench of teenage body odor. Further down the road was the art studio, the mess hall, some other random buildings, and the chapel. Across from the chapel were some makeshift baseball and soccer fields. Even further down the road was the beach area, which had a few rickety canoes and no other amenities. Beyond that, the road stopped, and then began a small path leading deep into the woods. No one ventured much past that point, but that is not where this story takes place. Let me take you back to those rotting wood cabins. Across the dirt road and in front of the cluster of cabins sat the Biffies, the John, Porter Potties, or whatever name you prefer. For this story, we'll call them the Biffies. I was 13 or 14 when this tale unfolded. Homesick and uncomfortable in the humid Minnesota summer, I shared a cabin with my good friend at the time, Sarah. One night, before turning in for bed, the girls in our cabin were sharing some scary stories, as young girls do. My friend Sarah shared the legend of the Biffy Man. The story goes that deep in the dark and dank hole of the Biffy lies a man with knives for fingers that loves the taste of children. He grabs anyone who dares to sit on his throne and devours them alive. That's it. Short and sweet. I'm sure she elaborated with some colorful tales of his past victims, but I must have blocked it out. At this age, I already had a healthy fear of what lurks down deep in the bowels of Biffy. I experienced vivid images of falling into the hole with the inability to free myself and subsequently succumbing to the foul human waste. I also had visions that a snake was going to somehow bite me while I was hovering over the toilet and trying desperately not to touch the seat with my backside. Now, I had the image of a creepy man with knives for fingers lurking in the shadows, waiting for his next victim. I didn't pee for 2 days. It got to the point where my skin was starting to turn yellow. To this day, I don't know how I lasted and why I just didn't pee in the woods like a normal person. Eventually, one of the counselors, who was just a few years older than me, convinced me that it was medically necessary to urinate. When I finally mustered up enough courage to use the Biffy, I felt like I was passing a kidney stone. I was probably dehydrated as well. The funny part is that this fictional story didn't scare me enough to wet my pants. It scared me even more that I held it in for days. A few years later, this harrowing tale inspired an amateur film. I was enrolled in a local community education class about filmmaking, and I brought up the story of the Biffy Man. A small group of us decided to make it into a short film that can only be viewed on VHS. To you young bloods out there that may not know what a VHS tape is, let me give you a quick history lesson. A VHS tape, or video home system, was a rectangular-shaped object for analog video recording using magnetic tape rolled into two spools. In order to watch said tape, you had to slide it into a device called the VCR. The film was in sepia tone, and I have no idea how we edited it. I think I still have a copy somewhere in a box tucked away with all my other cassette tapes. I still can't bring myself to watch it. Thank you for reading my story. Keep it creepy, but not so creepy that you potentially damage your kidneys and turn the color yellow, all because some preteen girl tells you made-up stories about a man who lives among the putrid human waste, waiting for some poor kid to take care of business.
Well, first of all, you got to send us the tape.
I must see this tape.
I have a VCR. I would love to watch it.
My mom has several. We got the means to watch it. I also love how accurately a VHS tape and a VCR was described. Very simple terms, because a lot of people, a lot of kids don't know. Ella's never seen a VCR.
Oh, yeah.
If I handed her a VHS tape, she wouldn't know what it was.
She's like, what is this? It'd be like when I was at my mamaw's house looking at her 8-track player. I'm like, what is this? You're just like, it's a piece of plastic. There's music in it. There's videos in it. You're like, what? No. I still like that. Like, I don't know how you would edit on something like that. I guess reel to reel was like a thing back then.
I don't know.
But Krista, you are not alone in being afraid of the camp porta potty. We all know sleepaway camp too. There is a murderer in the porta potty. It's not a Freddy Krueger person. It's just a killer, like a serial killer.
I've never seen Sleepaway Camp 2. But I did have my own experience with the porta potty just last night.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear how that went. How was the porta potty?
It was pretty gross. Thanks so much for asking.
For those
Heather
of you.
And I and Tommy and Paris went to a haunted cocktail soiree, as we do every year, to the point where one of the characters recognized us and pulled us aside to talk to us because we are now regulars at this establishment. It was the best year they've ever done it. It was so good. The performances were so good, like legitimately creepy, spooky, just a fun overall, like adult Halloween night. It's not
and
for the
funny.
Kiddos.
There were a lot of them funny that were too, really yeah. funny. The ones, some of them have messages for you and other ones just kind of like interact with you or like give you like a short hit, but they're funny. And the Ouija board was sassy.
Oh yeah. We got a real sassy wall-sized Ouija board and you can ask it questions. And then the planchette, which is like the size of your head, moves around and it was being fun with us.
It was very
silly. We got a 69 when we asked it a question. So it understood the assignment.
And then we asked it, what do you like to eat? And it said ass. I believe we go, what is your favorite snack? And then quietly to one another go, if it says ass, we'll lose it. And it went A. S, and we screamed. It was phenomenal.
We have it all on video. Yes. Maybe we'll put it on Patreon. Yeah. But there's in each room, there's kind of different things going on. One had a play, like a Shakespearean mm-hmm. play with just like three characters, and it involved singing and dancing. It was so well done. It was like modernized, but also old timey. And then like someone dressed up like a witch who sang like a bar song, and then a burlesque dancer. It was all awesome.
Yeah, it was all, but the only downside is it's in an old-timey mansion. So yeah. For it to be open to the public, the bathroom situation is porta-potties in the alley. I went the Krista two-day route and just held it until I got home. Was that a good idea? I don't know. We'll figure it out if I get UTI. But
I
went.
Couldn't. I was in my dear husband, who knows me so well, it started to rain and I didn't want to walk out to the porta potties and also be in a porta potty that had rain coming inside of it.
And we were the third, because people come at 3:15, at like 5 or like 6:30, and then at 9, and we were the 9 o'clock crew. So mm-hmm. two sets of people had already come through before us, and I don't think the porta potty emptier truck had been there for.
You know, probably not. It didn't seem as if it was being cleaned. I had to go, though, and I was like, no, I'm going to hold it. When I realized I had to walk out to the parking lot, it was raining. And then Tommy was like, well, I'm going to go. And I said, oh, well, if you all go, I'll go. So then come to find out, he went because he knew I really had to go, and I wasn't going to go unless he went, and he knew that I had to go. He knows me better than I know myself. There was no way I could have held it the rest of the night. So we're standing there. He goes in. Meanwhile, another patron was standing barefoot waiting for the porta potty, and barefoot. Tommy said, I don't think you want to go in there barefoot. And she was like, no, but she had like 8-inch heels on. So I was like, do you need some help? And she's like, can I borrow your shoulder? So I was helping her get back into her heels so she could walk into this porta potty. She goes in, I'm left alone. Rain is pouring, and Tommy walks out. He goes, it's actually quite pleasant with the pitter patter of the raindrops. And I was like, that's a lie. And I went in. It's dark. It's dank. I was like, how bad is it? He goes, you can't really see anything. Is that worse? To me, it was. I want to be able to know what I'm dealing with. So I was like, you got to hold the door. And I had to hover. I also did not let anything touch anything. I just hovered and crossed my fingers. I was pretty high up off of it, so I didn't get any knives tickling my backside or a snake, thank God. But I made it out alive, and then we had a very enjoyable evening. All that to say, porta potties, Biffies, I don't love them. I don't know that. I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think anybody loves them. It's always out of necessity.
Right.
But they're the good setting for a creepy place, especially creepy little ghost story.
If you're in the dark, you were in the... Yes. And what is, it made me think the other, like last Saturday when we were at that speakeasy, it was like, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. God. Pitch dark. It was my friend Susie and our other friend Katie was in from out of town and they're like, let's go to this cool speakeasy. And then it's 4 p.m. Just pitch dark inside.
Darker than like if you had all your lights out in your house. Yes. It was like, I felt like I was in in Star Wars when they like, what is it? The cantina. It's yes. Like so dark and like just lanterns lit everywhere.
And I walk in and I just plop down on a sofa and Christy's like, I'm not sitting anywhere that I can't see where I'm sitting, which is honestly so smart. I go, there could have just been like a needle or a knife or like a hand. And then sure enough, you found like a cup with like an old cup with a napkin in it where you were about to
sit. I got my flashlight out on my phone and just had to take a peek around. There's something about, couches, sofas, any kind of fabric chaired in bars, especially when it's dark, that just doesn't sit right with me. It's you know, stuff seeps in and it's too familiar. Yeah. It was a cool vibe, but I also found an old cup of someone else's with trash inside of it behind the pillow I was about to rest my back on. So yeah. I'm glad I used my flashlight.
It's a, whether you're going in a speakeasy or you're going in a Biffy, which did not know they were called that, by the way.
I love
look
that.
Before you leave. Look before you leave. Don't go full in on whole hog on a Biffy.
No. And I didn't have my flashlight because I didn't want to take my phone in and accidentally drop it somewhere. So, because that's
you don't have done. A case on it. You would throw it away.
I know. I don't have a case on it, which one of the bartenders last night taking our picture was like, you got to get a case on this thing. I was like, I know that. I've dropped it so many times the case broke. And then the one I ordered didn't fit. So I'm playing with fire. If that thing went into the Biffy, I'm Dunzo. Never getting it back. I'm not going in there for it.
You got to make a claim on AppleCare lost in Biffy. And they're like, oh, I'll send you a new one. All right.
Biffy man gets it. And it's going to be hard for him to text with those nine fingers. But
always
maybe
is.
He can figure it out. Well, I like that. That's a good spooky camp time story. I also, Krista, want to know if you meant it was similar to your typical 90s church camp, or you are referring to the 90s as the 1900s, or is this like a 1900s church camp?
That sounds like
I left it because I thought it was funny. And for all I know, that's what she means.
I was like, did you mean like, yeah, like the 1910s? But someone did go like, oh, you were born in the 1900s. And it's like, I'll kill you today, right now. I'll kill you. Yeah. Was I born in 1986? Certainly. But the 1900s?
I was born in 1979. I don't refer to it as the 1900s. I don't even refer to it as the 70s. At the bare minimum, I'll be like, yeah, I grew up in the 80s.
You grew up in the 80s.
70s.
Accurate.
It is accurate. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Krista, and beware the Biffy man.
Yes.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Well, this next one is from E, and it is called Don't Go Foraging in a Cemetery. Dears, I am so grateful for you. Honestly, your commentary gives me hope for humanity and America. I could go on like this forever, but hopefully you already know how much we all love you and celebrate you. So I used to work in Aspen, Colorado in the summers, a beautiful and weird place. I got into a habit of trail running on my mornings off and had a favorite route I always took. One day in particular, I was at the end of my run, cooling down and walking back towards town, with a bit of mild trespassing along a little creek behind some houses. A few meters ahead, I saw a large animal in the overgrown brush. "Man, that horse sure is hairy," said my brain. "Nope," said my mouth, because before I finished the thought, I realized, of course, that it was very much not a horse. It was a big-ass bear. So much for a nice cool-down. I booked it back across the creek and hoped my dumb brain and my tired feet would coordinate in keeping me upright and alive. I ended up slowing down on another overgrown street that I hadn't been down before, and soon found myself in a small clearing with lots of gorgeous sage growing. "Ooh," said my brain, "let's pick some of this and bring it home. It'll be so nice to take a little mountain souvenir home at the end of the season." As I was picking, I noticed a somewhat overgrown stone sign. Something about Aspen Grove, blah, 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 1889. "Cool, this sage is part of history and stuff." There goes my brain again. Then I noticed a broken stone obelisk and an assortment of grave markers sticking up from the ground. Oh, weird. I went back and reread the sign. I was picking sage from a cemetery, but I had already picked all this sage and didn't know what to do. Is it rude to just throw it away? Is it ruder to take home graveyard sage? Is it even legal? I decided to pocket it and deal with it later. Fast forward. Summer season had ended. Other hikes had been had. Other sage had been picked and dried. Other graves had been visited, including Doc Holliday's. I was back home in my Brooklyn apartment with a rare day off. I decided to meditate. Not normal for me. And burn some sage. I had given most of the bundles away to friends, but thought it might be rude to give someone the graveyard sage, just in case it was bad luck or something. But eventually, that was the one bundle left. "It's probably fine," said my brain. And by this point, you know my brain is a chronic miscalculator. So I set up a little altar, lit the sage, put my hands in my lap, and closed my eyes. Soon, I noticed my hands were moving. They were slowly floating up. I tried to put them together, but it was like there was a big invisible ball between them, or like magnetic repulsion. I now understand the concept of qi and have felt a weaker version of this practice in my sporadic qigong practice, but essentially, there was some frickin' energy in the room. I figured maybe I could just continue meditating and invite this presence to sit with me, but soon, I started getting a bit creeped out. This energy started to feel more angry, like a kid who doesn't want to show that they're scared or sad. The vibe I was getting was of a young teenage boy in a raggedy uniform. It didn't have a physical shape, so I wasn't seeing anything. It was just a feeling and a foggy shape in my mind. I opened my eyes again and saw that my hands had become tight fists. I looked in horror for just a moment, before my instincts kicked in and pushed through whatever force was trying to control me. I sprang up, extinguished the sage, and noped the fuck out of my apartment. I continued to hold on to the sage for a few years, but never again burned it. I only kept it so long because I didn't know how to dispose of it responsibly. Eventually, I buried it and politely invited the energy to return to the earth and find rest. To any listeners with ancestors in the Aspen Grove Historic Cemetery, please accept my apologies. I promise I've learned my lesson. Do stay away from bears, But don't be picking graveyard sage. Of all the places you can buy sage, or I guess you're not buying it, you're just picking it. This seems like one of the more dangerous places to possibly do that.
Yeah, it was an oopsie, certainly, certainly. But I think in general, if I'm, you know, anywhere near a graveyard, it's one of those, like, everything, stay here, don't come back with me, regardless of what it is. But it's, you know, like you say, once you've done it, you're like, well, I don't want to just throw it out or throw it on the ground in case it has some, you know, special meaning or whatever. And if it's something that you use in your own spiritual practice and your Qigong or your meditation or something like that, and you normally harvest it legally or whatever, that's a normal thing to do. Just, you got to check the signage and make sure you didn't pick it off somebody's grave.
Yeah. I like that you buried it and put it back. Would I have also picked this? There's a good chance I would have. Yeah, probably.
Touched it at least, certainly, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think if you do have someone buried there and you were to go and pick some of that and burn it, that perhaps that's a way of, like, connecting with something. But if you feel like some negative energy is attached to it, burying it, saying, I'm sorry, please find rest, and moving on was a great decision.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it. It's like, peace be with you. I'm so sorry. Please go back to the earth from whence you came.
Well, this next one's from Aaron, and it is called, My Kids Don't Remember, But I'll Never Be Able to Forget. I'm extremely blessed to be the mama of two little girls and one baby boy, as well as the bonus mom to two amazing young ladies and a teenage boy. That being said, my two girls have taken turns scaring the ever-loving shit out of me, and I'd like to share those stories with you. My eldest daughter, Alice, who is now 10, was around 2.5 or 3 at the time of my first spooky child interaction. Her dad was overseas, so it was just her and I figuring out life together. One night around 3 a.m., classic witching hour, she started screaming at the top of her lungs from her crib. I ran to her to find her shaking and crying, begging me to hold her. She was inconsolable for what felt like hours. I carried her into the living room and held her and rocked her and eventually calmed her down, but she refused to go back into her room. She wouldn't tell me what was wrong or what scared her. As a first-time mom and being the only adult in the house, I was absolutely freaked out. Exhausted, I let her lay with me in my bed and scratched her back to help her fall asleep, telling myself she must have had a night terror. 15 or 20 minutes later, when I thought she was asleep, she rolled over to face me, looked me dead in the eye, and whispered in her tiny girl voice, "Somebody's watching." Then just rolled back over and went to sleep like nothing had happened. I hit the roof. Every light in the house got turned on. I called my mom to come over and didn't go back to sleep. Instead, I checked every inch of my house inside and out for evidence of an intruder or peeping Tom, but found nothing. Alice has no memory of that night, but she slept in my room for quite a long time after the incident. A couple of years later, I had a psychic do a reading of the house. I didn't share this story with her beforehand, but she said there was a portal in the closet of that room, allowing lots of negative energy in. Maybe that's the explanation, or maybe it was a night terror. All I know is that it never happened to Alice again after that night, and for that, I am thankful. Fast forward to a few years when her baby sister, Ava, now 7, was about 2.5 or 3. We'd moved into a new house and were still in the process of decorating and unpacking. This is important. One night, Ava and I had the house to ourselves. We were relaxing in the living room, eating some Happy Meals and watching Trolls, truly living our best life. Suddenly, Ava, who was sitting opposite me on her sectional, went ghostly pale and pointed past me to the empty space and wall behind me. She started crying, saying, "Mommy, who is that?" I went completely cold, slowly turned, just to see nothing. But Ava was terrified. She kept saying, "Mommy, she's scary. That lady is scaring me." I asked her, "What lady? What'd she look like?" Ava responded, "The lady in the white dress right behind you." Ava was crying and rooted to her seat, too scared to move. Ladies, when I tell you I was filled with absolute panic, I am not exaggerating. I wanted to grab my baby and flee the new house and never look back. But I stayed externally calm and in my best stern mom voice said, "Ma'am, you are scaring my baby and you need to leave right now." Apparently it worked because slowly Ava relaxed and went back to chomping on her nuggets. I was shaken to the core. The next day, as I was unpacking boxes, I came across some antique pictures I'd bought but never got around to putting up. One of them was a lady in a white dress. Ava had never seen this picture before since I'd purchased it mid-move and it got stuffed away in a box for a few months. When I showed it to her, she said, "That's the lady that was behind you." I called my spiritual advisor immediately and asked her to cleanse my house and the antique picture I'd bought. She speculated that some kind of energy clung to the picture, and that's what scared Ava. She doesn't remember the incident now either, and for that I'm grateful. To this day, when I sit on the couch with my back to the wall, I get a chill and have to double-check to make sure nobody is back there. Anyway, my kids have a track record of being creepy as hell. Here's hoping my baby boy doesn't have a paranormal experience like his sister's. I don't think I can take another one. Attached pictures of my creepster kiddos, as well as the antique photo, I believe haunted my daughter. Love you both and your work. Keep it creepy. XOXO, Aaron.
Dude, little kids saying stuff like, "Somebody's watching."
Because they're young enough to not even know like what they're doing. And they probably haven't seen a show that even gives them a frame of reference of something like that. You're just eating nugs on the couch watching Trolls. And all of a sudden, "Mommy, there's a lady in a white dress standing behind you." I would shit myself.
Yeah.
Grab her and the nuggets and bolt.
Yeah, you got to grab the nuggets.
You got to get those nuggets, certainly.
For sure. No, but I mean, you're right. Because kids they're not calculating of like, "I'm going to scare my mom." They're like two. They just want to check
that. Not at that age. Yeah.
No, not at that age. But then also younger kids tend to blurt things out. They'll just be like, "Banana, doggy, whatever." So if they're like, lady in white, you're like, that. They're not just like fucking with you. Sometimes they just point and shout at what they see. So it makes me think that they've seen something.
It makes me think they've seen something too, and I don't even – I'm torn on all of that, but it's – if Ella were to say something like that, I could probably suss out if she's like trying to scare me or being genuine. If Simon says something like that, he doesn't know what – you know, I mean, he's so young.
That's
true. I'd
just
be like, "All right, buddy, get those nuggets because we're leaving and we're never coming back. So go ahead and say bye-bye to the house.
Grab your favorite stuffy. We're going to live in the parking lot until your dad's available because he'll just go in and fight the ghosts." But you're right because Simon would be about 2.5, 3. So, he's not calculating ways to, like, trick you and say "Somebody's watching in my room."
No. Yeah. He turns over in bed and just goes – "Somebody's watching us, dude."
Barf 1,000 times.
Oh, my God.
Man, well, Aaron, you are a badass for being like, "Ma'am, get the fuck out of my house."
Yeah, you've got to. And I love that. And also, you're a badass for taking care of a baby with your husband overseas. That's, like you said, you really are figuring out life together, just you and her. And it's amazing, but also terrifying, and then more terrifying when you're like, "Oh my God, it's not just the two of us in the house.
No, let's add ghosts on top of it."
Yeah, you're like, "Hey, if you want to be here, that's cool, but I need some help changing these diapers,
right?
Because until my husband comes back, it's just me. I'd love if you could chip in."
Right, yeah, stop fucking around. We all need to sleep. If you want to help rock the baby, that's fine. Let me know. I can go do laundry, or in fact, you go do laundry.
Right? You're like, "If you want to rock this crib, creepy style, if it puts her to sleep and I can get a couple hours, I'm not going to fight you on it. So go ahead."
Let's all be cool. Let's just be cool here. All right. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Aaron. Sinisterhood will be right back.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This next one's from Allie, and the subject line is generational mysticism. Just a content warning, this story contains a brief mention of suicide. Longtime listener, first-time caller. I recently had a pretty weird experience with my mother, which sparked an entire conversation about other experiences the two of us have had separately. I'm not sure if it's psychic abilities, the shining, whatever you want to call it, is hereditary, but given the stories I'm about to share, I'm starting to wonder if that's the case. The first story is my mother's. It happened when I was around 5 or 6, and she had just married my ex-stepfather, who moved us from our home in the Pacific Northwest to where he grew up, in a town in the Corn Belt in Missouri with a population of 500. One night after I'd gone to bed, my stepdad, who we'll call Tom, wanted to take my mom on a walk around town and tell her about his childhood. The places he spent time as a kid, the stomping grounds where he spent his days as an unruly child, the kind of stuff you show your partner when you take him to your hometown for the first time. A few blocks away from his childhood home, he stopped and longingly stared at an old rundown shack of a house that looked like it had been condemned for about a decade, but he didn't say anything to her about it. Even without context, my mom pointed to the magnificent tree in the front yard and said, "Who died there? Was it David?" My stepfather was shocked as he had never spoken to her about the incident that took place in that house. He confirmed that a man named David had, in fact, hung himself there. His twin sons came to live with Tom and his family for a while afterwards, but never having any answers as to why their father chose to leave them kind of pushed them down a road of drug and alcohol abuse. My mom walked straight over to the tree, pointed to the ground below, and said, "Dig about 6 inches down in that spot. It wasn't a suicide." Sure enough, Tom started to dig, and about 6 inches down, he found a piece of rope and a pocket knife with someone else's initials engraved into it. My mom didn't recognize the initials, but Tom did. After telling the twins about what my mom had found, the three of them, now grown up, were able to put some previously missing pieces together and finally found the answers they needed to move past their father's death. My second story is one that happened to me about a decade ago. Tom eventually joined the military and moved our now family of five to Germany, right in the countryside of Bavaria. On the post we lived on, there was an abandoned train station that the base officials locked up and occasionally used for storage. My friends and every other teenager on post would break in through a tiny hole in the boarded up and locked doorway to hang out in the basement. Allegedly, of course, I'm not admitting to B&E on a podcast. At one point, some heavy stuff went down with my parents that left me and my siblings in the care of a family friend with a 2-year-old. In an attempt to distract me from the trauma going on at home, the family friend, we'll call her Sarah, let me invite two of my friends over for a Harry Potter viewing party. I invited a brother and sister to Sarah's for the night. We made some popcorn and sat down to have our marathon. About halfway through The Sorcerer's Stone, Sarah's 2-year-old woke up screaming. She went to check and found 3 long scratches down her back that hadn't been there when she put her down to sleep. Sarah's house had been known as haunted since she moved in, but the resident specter had never caused any issues, so she never tried to get rid of it. Harming her child was her boiling point, though, and she suggested we banish it. As a self-proclaimed emo kid and lover of all things creepy, I jumped at the chance to perform a seance as she suggested. This included us sitting in a circle around her dining room table, linking hands, and lighting a candle in front of her. She gave me specific instructions that should the candle flame lean toward her, I should put my hand over her cross and hold on to it. Well, lo and behold, the flame grew in size and leaned in her direction. I did as I was told and grabbed the cross around her neck, and the next thing I knew, I came to in the middle of Prisoner of Azkaban. I don't remember anything after grabbing the cross, but was told the following by Sarah and my friends who were present. Apparently, after grabbing the cross, I started to speak in a voice that wasn't my own, saying things like, "Oh, what a lovely necklace. I'm so glad you're one amongst the flock." And, "I know the times are dark, but God's light is going to guide us through." Which is weird considering I am not and have never been religious in any way. Sufficiently freaked out, Sarah asked me who I was and where I came from. And all I would say was, "I live in the train station basement, but God told me I was needed here. Don't worry, I'll make the tall man go away." And then I went basically catatonic until I came to on the couch. Sarah never had another experience in that house again. The third story is the experience that I just had about a week ago, and I have no real explanation for it. When I was around 17, about 10 years ago, I did a past life regression meditation, and the only real information I got from it was that I had been a woman in the 1890s who lived in a large home. Not very much, but the imagery stuck with me. I never told my mom about this until one night we were driving around to drop off DoorDash deliveries when the topic of past lives came up. I explained what I had seen during the meditation, and she took a deep breath and said, "Does the name Harmonious mean anything to you?" Just like that, something in me snapped and I started to bawl. I had no idea why I was crying, but something deep and primal inside of me just felt so much despair at the sound of that name. I said, "I don't know why, but yeah." As I said it, I saw a first-person vision of myself being held by the arms and sobbing, "No, stop," in front of me, barely lit by a lantern, and there was a man beating somebody on the ground over and over. And just as quickly as it came, the vision went. I still didn't say anything to my mom about it, but she still turned to look at me and proceeded to say, "He was your soulmate. Your husband found out about the two of you, murdered him while you watched, and then went after you." I said, "I know," because while I didn't visualize the whole thing, something inside of me did, in fact, know. She then went on to explain that my husband had followed me through lifetimes and always faces some type of cosmic punishment for what he does to me in these circumstances. Before I could put two and two together, I was struck by a memory of a previous relationship, the big one that really broke me. The only time I ever even thought that my ex was going to hit me was after a bout of emotionally abusive vitriol being hurled at me. I simply told them, "Go to hell," and I saw something behind their eyes that completely surpassed anger. My mother had never known how truly bad things got in that relationship, had never known about that particular argument, but we both came to the same conclusion that my ex was in my soul pod throughout my lifetimes and was my husband in the 1890s. I guess I do find some comfort in the idea that I am their reckoning and will continue to be until they learn the lessons they're put here to learn. I know this was a lengthy one, but thank you so much for reading it. My mom and I are big fans of the show and switch back and forth between you guys and That's Why We Drink when we drive around working at all hours. Thank you guys so much for the endless entertainment of paranormal stories and the genuine care you give to the true crime side of things.
I have never heard of soul pods, and I'm very interested in this concept.
I agree. I know somebody who did a past life regression, and I'm interested in the whole thing, but the idea of soul pod, I'm like, I gotta Google this.
I gotta Google it right now. I should have Googled it earlier. What my guess would be that the idea is throughout our different lifetimes, there are certain people that stick with us in various forms and
maybe
then
so.
Manifest in different ways.
Yeah.
And then I guess if you fucked up and you're still in that soul pod, you're going to pay the piper every time it comes back around.
Like, hey, get your fucking attitude right. You've had like six goes at this. Like, what are you doing? Just get it right.
From ABC News, which is, I'm very shocked this is the first hit. Finding your soul pod.
That's a reality show I would watch.
Finding your soul pod. Oh, 100%. Our soul pod is that person or group of people whom our soul finds the most resonance with at any given moment. People of, well, there's a portmanteau. Do you want to guess what it is?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't even.
Soulnificence.
Never would have got it.
No, wait, I'm sorry. I mispronounced it. Soulnificence.
No.
Significance. Soulnificence. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Pretty good. Pretty good. So, yeah, that's an interesting concept. And I love a mom who's like, yeah, that's because this happened. Doesn't try and dismiss it or think that you're like being silly or just, you know, oh, that's just Allie and her woo-woo stuff. She's like, no, yeah, that was your husband and blah, blah. I mean,
it's like, they know what they're talking
about.
You go
hard together, you and your mom.
I know, right? And especially mom being like walking by a tree and knowing like the name of the person and not the entire backstory, but like just enough information of like, I know it's not that. I know you need to look there. What else, what you'll find, I don't know. That's stuff like that where you just listen to that intuition. I think that may be what, you know, what we consider psychic, like what these visions you're feeling may just be like extreme intuition or extreme intuitions. Actually, we're psychic.
In this case, too, the fact that it was able to put some family grief to rest and maybe answer some questions, that I love that. You know, yeah. I mean, however it came about, you got some much needed answers, it sounds like. And I'm sure that that family is forever grateful for that as well.
Yeah, trying to give them some peace. But, well, it sounds like listen to mama in general, but especially if your mom's a psychic, then super listen to her.
And it sounds like it was passed on to you. So then if you also have a kid, I already know you'll listen to them because it's clearly in your bloodline to not dismiss these things and to lean into them, see what something's trying to tell you.
Yeah, listen to the message. Well, thank you, Allie.
Also, shout out to our besties from And That's Why We Drink. We love y'all. And heck, so yes, we love when people find us through them because we love them so much too.
Yeah, someone's like, oh, my two favorite podcasts. I was like, well, that one's my favorite podcast. So, so we have some in common.
Good company to keep.
Absolutely. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Well, this next one is from Lark, and the subject line is Haunted University Dorm. For the Campfire Stories Freaky Friday, I wanted to tell you all a story that was big at my alma mater. Everyone said it was true. It was in the school newspaper every year for Halloween, and Heather may even know it. This story is about the haunted dorm room at Loyola University, New Orleans. The story goes that the girls in Buttig Hall, rooms 813 and 812, were playing with the Ouija board together, messing around, doing student stuff. What they didn't expect was someone to respond, a Creole woman named Hazel, or at least that's what the spirit called itself. She gave dates, made specific claims, you name it. The girls believed her. Then they let their friend Neil join on the game another night. Same thing. Hazel responds, talks to the students, and everyone is spooked. But Neil laughs at the whole thing instead. He's a college boy. He's not taking it seriously. Hazel responds to him in particular, "Cut stomach. Kill Neil." The following day, he's rushed to the hospital and diagnosed with appendicitis. But the girls didn't stop. They summoned Hazel again the following night, and this time, her true colors showed. Some sources say the girl saw the devil, but I was told the face made of blue flame covered one of the girls' faces, and they called it the face of the devil. By now, they were getting freaked out, rightfully so, and went to a priest on campus to deal with it. He told him to chill out with the Ouija board, and it would just go away, which did not work. That very night, everything in the dorm room moved. Posters flying off the walls, things went crazy. They even had to call the priest that night to come help them. The following morning, he brought all the girls in and performed a full-on exorcism in the room. This managed to squash the brunt of things, but the room remains haunted to this day. Hell, I think the floor is haunted. Lights flickering, toilets flushing on their own, things in the room moving like a whole-ass mini-fridge. My buddy who lived there above the room said he heard what sounded like a werewolf going nuts one day in there, all growls and bangs. For a Jesuit university, a lot of haunted and cursed stuff happens on campus. Must be located on like ley lines or something. But this is the most popular and scariest one, so I wanted to share. Love the show and keep on keeping on. Much love, Lark.
You know about this?
You know what's so funny? I went to four schools in 5 years, and two of them, there's like major stories of haunting. Loyola, New Orleans, there's a dorm room that's haunted. And UIC, not the devil baby, is like a whole story about UIC campus. But then one of those dorm rooms in a different dorm at UIC in Chicago was haunted. But I remember Buttig. And that's the good thing about a Jesuit university. You got priests on call.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if any place is going to be haunted, it's going to happen in New Orleans. That's ripe for hauntings. There was a haunted, I think it was a bathroom in like a basement in some dorm at UNT, I believe, or maybe that was the one with the glory holes.
It's haunted by something else.
There was something going on down
just
there.
Just trying to go to the bathroom, and there's just coming through the glory hole.
I don't know if that was an urban legend or not, but I remember hearing. And if you went to UNT, email and let specifically if like. You know for a fact that these are down there.
Yeah.
That there was a bathroom somewhere where there were glory holes and you could go enjoy what you do with glory holes if you so desired. Whether it was a ghost on the other side or not, I don't know.
It's a very special glory hole. That's UNT, though. It's like everything. You have fun on campus. You don't even have to leave. We have glory holes on premises. But yeah, the Buttig Hall was that eighth floor or whatever is like the haunted floor. I never had any spooky experiences in my dorm, but talking of maybe it's on ley lines. So Loyola is kind of smaller than Tulane, and Tulane's kind of L-shaped and surrounds Loyola, and Loyola lives kind of in the cutout of the L. So it makes a big square altogether. And there's a long kind of alleyway between the campuses, and I would cut through there to get to my dorm. And there was always this room on the Tulane campus, which I was far away because, you know, there was a fence, but it was like maybe the fourth or fifth floor. And always late at night, there would be like a big television. And this was 2006, so it would have been like a tube TV. And it would have like something old on it and weird. And I would just be drawn to just stand and stare at it. I couldn't make out what it was. It would be snow sometimes. Other times it would just be like weird. I don't know, like maybe a 70s or 80s looking kind of oldish video. And then there was a single time that something crossed across and I freaked out
Like something crossed the screen or the window?
Like somebody was in the room. Something was in the room and walked across it. Like it blocked, it walked between me and the television. And I was like, and then I didn't. And I was like, I can't look again. But I still wonder what that was. Like, did they, it seemed creepy. I don't know.
You don't think it was a college kid watching TV?
Well, they should not have been. Those were like administrator, like all the dorms were at the back. This would have been at the front, and like it would have either been like administrative offices. Maybe they would have had classes up there. I didn't go to Tulane, so I don't really know. But it's whatever
the
building.
If you went to Tulane in 2006, and you know what we're talking about, hit us up. Maybe it was like a nighttime class, and it was all about, I don't know. How to scare Loyola students 101.
That's right. They're just like,
they just sit
some,
there waiting for somebody to walk by.
Just, it was like, I don't know if it was local cable access or like German experimental cinema from the 50s, but it was just kind of like weird shapes and stuff. And I'm like, what is that?
Unsettling.
But it was like every time after really late at night, you'd always see it. So if you went to Loyola or Tulane, yeah, throw me some of them college spooky stories from around there, because it's been a hot minute. And I probably have forgotten many of them. I got to go find my old diary. I bet I wrote about it in there.
Also, Neil, come on.
God damn, Neil. Enjoy that appendicitis, bro.
Dude, you fucked it all up. I would also like to say, who amongst us hasn't heard what we thought was the sound of a werewolf in a dorm room late at night, just banging around and hoots and hollers?
Yeah, and grunts. It must be haunted by that ass. I don't think it was.
I don't know. It was like 2:30. Sounded like two werewolves were just going at it in the room next to me.
There are some of us who are like, that was a werewolf. Virgins is what I mean. And then others who are like, we know what that is for real. Oh, Neil.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris. I assume it was you.
It was Neil Patrick Harris. Thank you. Thank you, Lark. And I do have to say, when I first read this, I thought that Hazel was just warning Neil, like, you have appendicitis. But upon second, it sounds maybe like she tried to blow his appendix up.
Yeah. No, I think these girls were witches, and she was like being cool with them.
Yes.
And then Neil ruined the party, and she's like, get him out of here. And then they had to involve a priest, and that doesn't sound like Hazel liked that either.
Shit-talking man laughing, ruining the party. I've been there.
Tale as old as time. Somebody that lives in Budding Hall who knows where the 813 or 812, if you currently reside in this dorm room,
yes,
I'm not saying you should get a Ouija board and try and contact Hazel, but it would be the perfect time of year if you wanted to, perhaps.
I mean, buyer beware. Fuck around and find out. But she sounds cool as long as you're not rude to her laughing at her. So there's that. And at the end of the day, you have nuns and priests right there on call. So they'll help. Sure.
And all sorts of things and people in New Orleans that can probably help you remove some kind of negative energy or entity.
It's a spiritually powerful place, certainly.
Oh, yes. Ley lines or just something's going on there.
We got to look those up. We got to look into those some more. Well, thank you, Lark. Sinisterhood will be right back.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Well, this last one's from Tab, and the subject line is Apocalypse Tea Party. Hi, ladies. I love you both so much and have been listening since 2018. Y'all feel like the older sisters I always wanted, and I'm so appreciative of the community you've created. Now, let's get into it. I live just west of Charlotte, North Carolina, and was traveling to Jacksonville, Florida for a baby shower. Now, if anyone's driven on I-95 on a Friday, they know that it is a brush with true crime in and of itself. So we took some back roads through South Carolina. As we were going through the very rural towns with questionable characters sitting on their porch wearing only hot pink boxers, my mom, who was driving, and I noticed the towns getting smaller and smaller and much, much quieter. We soon realized we were the only people on the road and the only living thing in sight for the past few miles. We passed by old, rundown gas stations, car malls with ivy growing up the side of them, and the windows of buildings boarded up, and a huge rusted water tower, and sidewalks that were cracked and covered in overgrown weeds. We were quite literally the only living things. As we made our way through what looked like the set of The Walking Dead, we came upon a building that looked to be maybe 500 square feet with a giant percolator on the front. We slowed down to look because how cool is that? And as we slowed down, we looked into the window and it was a room full of life-size dolls sitting around a table. It was a building with a single room and a giant window on the front with four dolls that looked like they crawled out of Annabelle sitting around a wooden table with teacups on the table. Needless to say, we sped up rather quickly. Who put those dolls there? Why were they having a tea party? Why were they the only signs of life there? All these questions never got answered. We ended up going through more towns, passing by a tiny cemetery on the side of the road and a federal penitentiary, but the tea party of dolls has always stuck in my mind. I've looked everywhere for some sort of story or picture online, but I've never found anything. But my mom and I will never forget the feeling like we witnessed a tea party in the apocalypse.
I hate this so much.
Hit the gas. You were right to just speed away. There's Dude, no need to stop. Don't look into it.
I got the answer for you. Those dolls killed everybody in the town and then went and celebrated with a cup of Earl Grey is yeah, what right. happened.
Pass the sugar cube, Martha. We've completed our plan. Annihilation is done. Yeah, God don't damn. Stop. Don't fucking stop. No. You don't need to know how they got there. Because the best case scenario is it's a weird person who that's their only friends and they're like, come into my doll sanctuary. Do you want to become another member? So just keep going. Just run.
Just keep going. We had another freaky Friday, oh, may have been like one of our first, where it was a similar story. They were driving through a rural town and they saw like a barn or some kind of like weird abandoned building, and they stopped in and they saw all these like weird dolls and signs, and then like somebody was in there. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one, but it's
I'm gonna have to go back and like look it up. It could
y'all gotta
be the
get
same
together.
Place.
You're going to get together. Yeah. This is a PSA. If you're listening, you got to help Tab and her mom out, because if you're in South Carolina and you know where this fucked up doll store is, let us know what the explanation is.
Oh, those dolls? Those dolls have been dead for 100 years.
They're like, that building burned down in 1968. It's like, oh God, how did I see it then?
Oh, if it's, yeah, best case, it's like somebody that's like, this will be creepy. I'm going to put all these dolls here with teacups and just scare the shit out of people that are driving through town. Fun bit? Maybe. Also, I'll kill you.
Yeah, right?
You do that to me.
I mean,
oh man, that would, oh, ha, ha, ha. Just yeah. looking over from your car and you can just imagine like, like music box music happening, and they're like, their little hands clinking against the porcelain cups.
Nah, we don't need any of that. Nah. Hate it. Nah, all of it. Yeah, because it's there's no good that's going to come of that. Like I said, because you don't want to buy a doll. You don't want to be around it. And maybe it's just a trap to get people to look and go, what the fuck is that? And they wreck their car. And then they come out and deliver it to you. Damn, and you can take it into the woods or chainsaw massacred.
You get chainsaw massacred. That is the scariest possibility of all.
So you're just like, oh, a percolator. Yeah. Let's take a picture. And then.
What's a percolator? What is that?
I thought it was a coffee maker, like an old.
That's what I was thinking too, but like a giant one, like as if this was an old timey once coffee shop that had like a big percolator out front for decoration. That's kind of what I was picturing.
That's what I pictured too, like a metal coffee pot where it's shaped kind of like, you know, vavoom, like
yeah,
wide at the top and thin in the middle and wide at the bottom. Wow. And then metal.
Related to 2 out of 3 of those things.
Hey.
The thin in the middle, yeah. No, but
yeah,
the other two.
Wide at the top, wide at the bottom. I got you. But yeah, I would stop. Like, that would catch your eye. And that's what they want you to do. Yeah. They want you to fucking do.
And then they're like, oh, how weird. Let's go in and check this out. Famous last words. And then
I get killed.
You become a doll.
There used to be only one doll.
Yeah.
Oh, now yeah. Three started friends.
Started out with 0 dolls. Just the tea maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got percolated.
Now, next time you drive by, you're like, well, there's 6 dolls in here now. Wait, now there's 8? Yeah. Pretty soon, the whole town, just dolls.
And you can't get, you know, you're conscious and you're a doll, so you can't move. You just have to sit there with a tea in front of you and watch people pull up. And you're like, drive away. Oh my God.
This is a horror movie for real.
We just wrote it. We got this.
What kind of dolls are you picturing?
I'm picturing like do you remember when we did our live stream last month for the Getting Into It tier on Patreon where I picked all those things from the Facebook marketplace, all those like fucked up things?
Yes.
And that one section that was like long girls and it was just big dolls that were like the 36 inch dolls.
Yeah, yeah,
I was picturing, it said full set of long girls. It was just like 7 different dolls of between 24 and like 36 inches. That's what I pictured. Like when she said life size, I figured like kid size. Like,
okay.
Not like a mannequin, more like just a big fucking doll, like a huge, a long girl, like a bunch of long girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes more sense than what I was picturing.
What did you picture?
I was picturing like Raggedy Ann dolls my height.
Oh,
like my
fuck.
Size, but Raggedy Ann
dolls. I thought you were going to say you're picturing like a real girl, like a sex doll.
That, I mean, and perhaps that as well. I think that's less creepy than long girls, Raggedy Ann dolls.
I mean, it's scary in a different way, certainly.
It's scary in a different way. Yeah. That's true. None of it's good.
No.
I mean, it's like, it's pick your poison. All of them are bad.
Either way, if you drive either past it or turn and drive straight through it and destroy it, that's the only 2 options. Don't stop.
People have tried, Heather.
They've tried.
People have tried.
Their souls are in the percolator.
Yes.
They're percolating for eternity.
You get in there and everyone's like, oh, there's also a bunch of like toy cars everywhere. They didn't used to be toys.
They're like, I didn't know they made like a Hot Wheels like Honda Civic. Oh, they do now. And look, there's 2 little people inside screaming. They're moving their little arms going, get us out.
Damn. Like, this is a Twilight Zone episode.
Place is cursed, Tab. Keep driving. You did right. Also, what a nice friend you are that you drove so far for a baby shower and passed a devil doll store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nearly died on the way, too. So I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, congrats on your baby. You went on fucking saw on the way here. They're like, we're trying to guess what the weight will be. Listen, I don't have time for that. We know when she's due. It doesn't matter. She's going to get induced. It's fine. It's fine. We don't need to guess. No more games.
No more guessing. We've got a real life situation on our hands.
That's me and you running into a baby shower after seeing something like this. Like, we don't have time to talk about your games. We got to solve this mystery. If you're listeners, man. If you know what the fucked up dollhouse is on I-95, write us in. sinisterpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm like halfway ready to drive to Charlotte, North Carolina.
We got to see it.
Just to see this thing with my own eyes.
Make the drive. The giant percolator and the dead dolls.
Oh, yikes. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of the Goosebumps story. Well, thank you, everyone, for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. These certainly were some freaky ones and the perfect ones to get us in the Halloween mood if you aren't already. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, or a room full of dolls having a tea party in the middle of nowhere where you're the only living thing for miles. Maybe you've had a brush with true crime or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being. Send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see we're up to next or dive into over 500 hours of content. We just today released our newest minisode. It is a harrowing tale of a heroic woman, Margie Palm, who somehow escaped the throes of a serial killer. It is it's quite a tale. We had never heard of it before, and it's a powerful story. So you can go to sinisterhood.com/Patreon for more information on that.
You can also head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And don't forget those warm, cozy sweaters for winter.
You can also review the show while you're there, follow us on socials, and check out the episode descriptions of the shows for more fun, like topic-based playlists. And when we have links to live shows, we'll post the links for those tickets there, too.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. We're on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. And we're on Cameo. It's about to be the holiday season, or it's just the spooky season. If you want a gift for the person you love in your life, a perfect one is a custom video shout out from us on Cameo. You let us know what message you'd like for us to deliver, and we love to deliver it. So go to cameo.com and you can see all the different kinds of videos we can do, from happy birthday, happy anniversary, I love you, congratulations, anything, at cameo.com and search Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at online?
I'm on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm pretty much everywhere at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.